I read to us today from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. In the Good News Version, it says this. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus, who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you're doing unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I'm telling you the truth," replied Jesus, "that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but do not know where it comes from or where it's going. It's like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. I'm telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior." We thank God for God's word to us today. It's a well-known story, and in fact, the one piece of scripture that's there, John 3 verse 16, is recognized as the most quoted piece of scripture ever. Again and again, it comes up in our world, in our lives, and it's an important scripture. But today we read the full part of it. We see the whole story of Nicodemus and his interaction with Jesus. And we see that there's a lot to be gained and to learn and to move in our own lives because of it. Now, Nicodemus was a very respected spiritual leader. He was very well known in Jerusalem at that time. He was head of various movements within the Jewish religion. And he was looked up to by almost everyone in the Jewish community at that time. When he spoke, people listened. When he gave instructions, they took it seriously. When he interpreted scripture, people dug into that a lot and tried to figure out what he meant and how he was explaining it in order that they could follow God more closely. And so here we have a very strange scene taking place, that this man who was so looked up to in Jewish society at the time came to a man who in many ways was reviled and hated and looked down on. Nicodemus came to Jesus. And in that we see something important, that he came to Jesus out of a sense of knowing that what Jesus was teaching was true, and that there was something new that he was teaching there that he hadn't seen or understood. And the way for him to understand that was to go to the source, to go to the person who was speaking about it and making it reality in the world around him. And so he did that. But realize that for Nicodemus, this would have been a difficult thing to do. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, and he was high up in the Pharisaic movement. And it meant that for him, following the rules, doing things right, interpreting scripture exactly as it was supposed to be interpreted, was what he was about. Everything about him followed rigid ways of being. And he did that. He did that well. That's how he rose to the prominence that he found himself in. And as we understand that and unpack that about Nicodemus, we then see why he came to Jesus at night. Why he came to Jesus in a quiet place and why there was nobody else around when he was speaking to Jesus. Now, there must have been at least one or two other people there because it was recorded. And it wasn't Jesus who wrote it down, it was others. It may have been Nicodemus, but we suspect that there were some disciples there who were with Jesus at the time as well. But Nicodemus came alone. He came quietly in the night because he knew that when he spoke to Jesus, he needed to do it without any of the other Pharisees seeing him. And so this man who followed the rules found that there was some emptiness in his life. That everything that he was speaking and preaching and seeing in the scriptures added up to something, but not enough. There was more that he wanted to see, more that he wanted to realize and recognize. And that's why he came to Jesus, because in Jesus he saw not just good teaching, but a newness of life and something deeper and more that was there that he wanted to pick up on. And Jesus' response would change his life forever and will change our lives if we can hear the story and hear Jesus' words in them. Jesus told the story of new birth, and for us, it's become almost commonplace. We know it. We understand it. It's real for us. But for Nicodemus, it would have been new and revolutionary. It would have been absolutely changing. He would have been the rules follower, the linear person. You do this, then this happens, and it goes in a line, forward as you go. But for Jesus, when he said, you're born new, there was newness and hope there that he brought to him. And so the idea of new birth has been debated and discussed by theologians for centuries. Since the scripture was written down, people have asked, what does it mean? How do we understand it? How do we unpack this? And what does it mean for our daily lives? But I think ultimately it comes down to this. We are called to experience a radical transformation in our world. We are called to experience something so different to what we have done before that it's like a new birth. Everything from the past is gone, and everything in the future still lies up and open to us. And Jesus is the one who initiates and brings and invites us into that future. Let me say it this way. I have young children, and every now and then they say things which are quite profound. And every now and then they say things which are really not profound. But one of their profound moments was my daughter came home with a seed one day from nursery school. And as you do, you take your bean seed and you stick it in some cotton wool. You overwater it for a few days. And then eventually out pops a little plant. And one of the things she said to me, she didn't say exactly these words, but what I took away from it was that the plant that comes out of the seed looks very different to the seed. And then a few weeks later, that seed, and you've seen it, they shrivel up and go a funny brown color, and then they fall off the plant. And they've done their job and they're finished, and the rest of the bean plant grows. We do still have those bean plants in my garden, I'm quite thankful to say. They're now more than a year old and still haven't given us any beans. But that's also beside the point. But this idea that new birth and new growth is something radically different from what it begins as is where the story of Jesus and Nicodemus really comes true for me. When we look at Nicodemus and his answers and questions to Jesus and what he's trying to say, we can see that he doesn't fully understand what Jesus is getting at. He's saying you can't be born a second time. It can't happen. You can't go back to your mother's womb. He's thinking about the physical birth, but Jesus is speaking about the spiritual birth. And if we think about the seed that grows, the seed itself is the beginning part. It gives life to the plant, but the plant is completely different to the seed. It's new to the seed and isn't technically, after a little while, part of the seed. The seed falls away and something else grows and develops in its place. And similarly, with our faith and with the work of the Holy Spirit, we are human beings. We live our lives. There is substance and movement to it. We find joy. We find love. We find pain. We find struggle. Our lives are lived. But when we meet with Jesus, there's the potential for us to be like a seed, that our one part disappears and gives birth to a new part. Our physical, spiritual being is able to be completely changed by Jesus, grown into something new, and it must sprout and come from the original seed, but it will become something wholly different, absolutely transformed from what we began with. And that's the power of Jesus. To take us, a seed, and grow us into a plant that produces seeds. Grow us into something new and different and change the very world around us. And so I'd like to suggest that instead of thinking about being born again, which is the words that are used in some translations, and other translations use different words, but it's the one that's become most known to us. That NIV version scripture that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes," sometimes I say begotten, "only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life, might be born again." And we keep coming back to those words, born again. And Nicodemus struggled there, and I think we too struggle there. But if I said to you, instead of saying born again, what if I said to you a new birth, a newness in your life that can transform who you are and what happens in the future? would that help us to grasp a little bit more what Jesus is speaking about? That this is my body, this is my spirit, this is my life, but there is newness possible here. I am the seed, and there is a plant that wants to grow in me that is the way of Jesus. There's a plant that wants to grow in me that is fueled by the Holy Spirit. There's a plant that wants to grow in me that will be very different to what I was before, but will be thriving and green and lush because Jesus is in my life. And so this idea that new birth is a transformational experience, a spiritual awakening, is incredibly important for us. And when we read the scripture, hear Jesus saying that, that the old must pass, the new must come, that there is newness to be had in your life, and that newness is good. And this then helps us to shift our perspective away from a self-centered life, which says, my life is all about me, about what I do. And it moves us into the space which says, it can be about something else, something different to me, something new that will grow that I didn't see there before or know about, but is in me and has the potential to come out. And it then helps us to move away from being oriented to myself and the physical and the world around me, and to orient myself towards God, and to say, God, what is it that you can do in my life that will change me? So it is very much for us a transformational experience. New birth changes us completely. And we experience that through Nicodemus a little bit, because he came to Jesus and asked him about these things. And the gist of it is to say that we know for him the old way wasn't working, and that he saw there must be something else, there must be something new in the world around me. But how about us? Do we hold on to the old ways? Do we hold on to the old thinking? Do we hold on to the seed, hoping that the seed is what will sustain us and make something new? Or do we look to the potential of what's beyond us? And think about moments in your life where you might have clung to old ways of thinking, where you know that scripture says this, or you know in your heart that the Spirit is moving you to do something different to what you were doing before, but you hold on and you say, no, I've done it like this way before, and I trust it, I know what's going on there, and I'm going to keep doing that. But Jesus is moving in our hearts and minds and saying, try something different. Move into a new space. Be a new person. And where scripture says, don't do this, but do that. Where scripture says, love instead of hate. When scripture says, give instead of hold on. When scripture says so much, and we know there's more to it. We need to be like Nicodemus and come to Jesus and say, the old isn't working. Show me how the new works. Transform me. Grow in me a new plant. We can't achieve this on our own, and it does require us to come to God, just like Nicodemus did. He knew so much of the scriptures in his mind. He knew so much of how to interpret them. He was looked up to by many people in Jerusalem, and still he knew he needed to go to Jesus in order to understand something new. For each one of us, the same is true. We cannot achieve newness and transformation on our own. We need to trust in God. And then something that's real for me. What I didn't tell you about my daughter's plant is that my son had brought a plant home a few years prior to that, and it died. A very slow, painful death. Not enough water over too long a period of time. And what happened was, when my daughter brought her one home, he remembered planting his own one. He remembered what it meant to see it start to grow, and then he forgot about it and forgot to water it, and then it died, and we found it a week later, shriveled and not alive. But the exciting thing was that he could look at her plant, and he took as much excitement in her plant growing, and he reminded her to water it, and he gave of himself in that process and movement too, and they both took joy from her plant growing. And that tells me that the spiritual transformation, the newness of life, the new birth that Jesus speaks about, is an ongoing process. Sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes we forget to water. Sometimes the sun is too harsh. Sometimes there's just outside circumstances that don't allow it to grow. But there are more opportunities in the future. And so when we see that and understand that, we realize that new birth isn't just a one-time event, it's an ongoing process. And God is with us each moment of each day, inviting us again and again and again to say, even though I invited you, you tried, it didn't work, do it again, try it again, follow me again, give yourself to me again. And it's a continual process of rebirth. And we are born again and again each morning, each day, into God's love and into God's way. This is where the feather comes in. It's a reminder to us that God's Spirit is light but it's with us. If we fan, we feel it. And it's there and present. And you might take the feather home and leave it and forget it. You might put it somewhere else. May even leave it here. But my hope is that the reminder will be for us that the feather reminds us of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who is with us all the time, renewing and giving us newness of life each day. We prayed in our prayer earlier that God's mercies are fresh on us each morning. And that comes from other parts of Scripture to remind us that God gives us new mercies all the time. And so this process is ongoing. That grace happens a step at a time, and that grace is available to us each moment of each day. Do you need further convincing of this? Do you hold it in your heart? Do you believe it? Do you know it? Let me say it this way, just in case. The task of Christians and Christianity is not to change the world. And this might be contrary to what you've heard in the past. But I believe it's for us to participate in the transformation that God is already doing. To participate in the way that God has already partnered with many people around us. And just like my son partnered with my daughter in order to grow a plant, so too we can partner with others in the world around us. We can live life in new ways with others around us. And it's not our job to change the world. It's our job to get on board with what God is already doing. And to get involved with that and to make it work and move in our lives and the lives of those around us. And that's the transformation that happens. And that gives me hope as well, because it means that even if I fall off the wagon sometimes, and I do quite regularly, that somebody else is there that I can join again and do it with again. And we can partner again. And that's how church operates. That's how Christianity operates. So my invitation to us today is to participate in this transformation. To realize in our own minds that we are seeds that can grow. There's potential in us to follow Jesus well. There's potential in us to move within God's way. And to connect into that and to grow the world around us in God's way, in ways we didn't see before. And it's my invitation to us to say, will you accept that? Will you see that? Will you partner with God? Will you read Scripture and pray? Will you attend not just church, but get involved in the world around you? In community, and see people and say to them, how do we make this world better? And sometimes it might not be church that transforms the world around us. Sometimes it might be a humble street group on WhatsApp who's complaining about something, but we're able to affect a kind of change. Might not be that, but it might be. And to look into the world around us and say, what is God doing in the world, and how do I connect into that to make it reality as well? It will also require from us, I believe, two key things: humility and trust. Humility means that we recognize that we're not the center of the universe, but that God is the one moving the world around us, and we plug into God. That there's something greater than ourselves at work in the world, and the Holy Spirit is at work permanently transforming what's going on around us. It means acknowledging our limitations and weaknesses and being willing to go to Jesus for help, just like Nicodemus did, saying to him, I don't fully understand, but help me to grasp this. And it also means trust. And trust means believing that God is good and God is faithful and God holds us and moves us, and that when we plug into what God is already doing, that it's a goodness that we move into. That it's the space that our seed can grow and that our hearts and minds can be opened up to something new, especially what we can't see ahead. We trust that God knows what's in the future, and we move towards that with God. And so Nicodemus helps us to reflect on these things. That we come to Jesus, that there is newness in life that we can see and experience and grow with, and that it's a continual process each day. God invites us. Will you follow me? Will you do it this way? Will you gather together? Will you pray? Will you read Scripture? Will you be people who move within my way to help the world grow into a better place? May this be reality for each one of us. And may we know it deep in our hearts.